Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that your word tells us most distinctly, blessed is the man whom you call and cause to approach unto thy throne. And also, Lord, you mention not only man drawing nigh to you, but you would draw nigh to man. And we believe that this is, in this hour, Lord, as never before. So we count it a great privilege, Lord, that there is a great magnet between you and us. We are drawn to you and you are drawn to us. And we believe, Lord, that you are here in the pillar of fire to take us into the great millennium. You're going to raise the dead. But at this time, more important to us is the fact that you are here to reveal the very word that was brought to Paul. And this is where we stand and what we desire, that we may know the reality of that word, even as Paul knew it. But we do not desire to ask you to the same intensity, though perhaps that will be there at that very day, even greater, as that change begins to come according to what Paul was set forth. He only speaking in terms of the mystery and not in the power, hoping to see the power, but knowing that it was there for that particular hour, which is even now. And we saw part of that in Brother Branham, Lord, and we believe that that same power that you yourself, Lord, making yourself more known, more one with us as ever before, and we with you, Lord, are bound to come to that place where there will be that great change, and then, Lord, there is that rapture and the meeting at the wedding supper. These things, Father, we claim according to truth of your word, Lord, have been set before us, and we are not trying to be presumptuous as though saying, yeah, we have it, Lord, we have it, and this is it, but Lord, by faith we're believing, because we've come this far, we'll be taken all the way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, trust we're even a whole lot more relaxed tonight than this morning, rather than on Friday. Usually a first meeting is a little tougher with the people coming in, and you just do your best, but sometimes it's not good enough. Now, on Friday, we brought up a thought there. I didn't get time to cover everything because I found my notes, especially with the scripture, and I left a lot of scripture out, which should be read for the sake of continuity, bringing you the fact of the door being actually the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, which it is. In John 10, you find there distinctly when he spoke of the door. And he spoke of the door being the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he tells you then, John 3:16, that no man can come to the Father but by him. And then pages down later in John 14, and after he tells them that he's the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and I'm the door, and no man can enter any other way than by my death. It's utterly impossible. They were using the blood of bulls and goats, and then Paul comes along later and said that, in the epistles, that for some even a good man perchance might even dare to die, but God commend his love toward us in while we were yet sinners, that Jesus died for us. And again, we find the scripture there distinctly telling us you could give your body to be burned, you could give all your goods to the poor, and it would avail you nothing. You really need Jesus as that open door. But even then, with that open door, that is merely an open door. What is it that lies beyond the open door? What is it that's taken up next? Well, if you find that, you go to John the 14th chapter, and that's a great illuminating chapter of the book wherein we find that vindication is brought forth so thoroughly, that Jesus was not God, he was the Son of God. And it was not Jesus who was omniscient and omnipotent, it was the God in him. In fact, Jesus was completely constrained and restricted so that he could not say anything except what God said and do anything but what God did. Now, that's a big difference between him and the devil, because both of them had great power given unto them way back in the ages beyond, of which we know literally nothing except when they led in the worship of Almighty God, and great things were entrusted to them. For Jesus said, restore to me the glory I had with you in the beginning. Now, the devil could never pray that because his doom is sealed. He'd never get that glory back. But in this particular chapter, John 14, he's talking about coming again and to receive them. And he said to, and he says now to the disciples, he said, in the way you know, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And he told them. And then Thomas, he's that doubting fella. He said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now you notice in there, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now he doesn't say he's the door now. You've gone past the door. You've gone past that. That's why today you are in the position where you don't go back to the Logos of God and laying the foundation for all those doctrines. You're going on to a perfection. Something has run its course. You're now waiting for the last little bit. And that last little bit's the opening of the seven seals where all the errors are corrected. And so therefore man can now stand again before the tree of life and without fear go to the tree of life and enter into mortality. And so here Jesus is saying, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now you see the end part. No man cometh unto the Father but by me is the fact of the blood that made access. He was that door. Now once you get inside of that door, who do you expect? Well, what would you expect? You expect complete access to God himself. And Jesus was the complete manifestation of Almighty God. So now coming by the blood, you have no doubt in your mind, positively having been baptized in water, that you will receive the Holy Ghost. This is where the church has interposed its creeds and its dogmas. And interposing its creeds and its dogmas and bringing fear upon the people and a wrong exercise of faith like the Pentecostals. Oh, tarry, tarry, tarry. And fall backward, fall backward. Do this and do that. Finally stutter and stammer. Finally speak in tongues. Hogwash. You've been led completely astray by the devil. Because the Bible does not say that. Now, whatever Jesus said here, this is what counts. The historical traipsings and the historical trim has nothing to do with it. You've got to watch that. That's just the same as the word that is given by vindication must have vindication previous. Thus saith the Lord, before that is the word of God. Then out of that word of God, if there is a promise that you can have gifts of the Holy Ghost, which is not the Holy Ghost, but merely gifts, just like you receive an inheritance. A rich uncle dies, and he gives you $20,000 in his will. You never received your uncle. You simply received a gift from your uncle. But the Pentecostals can't even read that. And if you're taught how to read it wrong, you'll read it wrong. See? If EAU, which of course is French, and in the English is a great deal of French, is 55% Latin, 14% French. And EAU is O. Well, if you're taught to say OO, and the English will say OO, you will say OO when you should be saying O. And so if you are taught that the gifts themselves are the Holy Ghost, that's what you're going to go by. And you're wrong. And therefore, being wrong, you get nowhere with God, because God is all light. So, when I was bringing this out the other night, I merely touched it. And there are many things from last night, Friday night, you may hear, and I barely touched them without using the number of scripture that I should have used. Now, this morning, when we talk about the resurrection, we are going to use a lot of scripture to one end. And we go to John, the 21st chapter, and in verse 14, to get what I want concerning the resurrection, as to what I want to get out of the resurrection. And in the 14th verse, it says, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from amongst the dead, because that is the truth. He wasn't just risen from the dead, he's risen amongst the dead because a whole lot of people stayed there dead. That's why Paul said, I may attain to the out resurrection from among the dead, not just the resurrection. Because my goodness me, I don't want to be in the resurrection period. I want to be in the out resurrection, because if I get in the resurrection, I could either be a foolish virgin and be outside the city, or I could be serpent seed and cast to the lake of fire. So if you want anything this morning, you better know the Word of God and what the Word of God says. Or you'd be like the Pentecostals. You're going to settle for a couple of gifts. I talked in tongues. I got the Holy Ghost. And get before God. You say, I talked in tongues. I prophesied. I cast devils. Get away from here. Now, see, you've got your pick. See, this is the seriousness of the situation and why 8 people make the ark, instead of millions now living. And the millions are not living. They are dead. And the sentence of twice death has been passed upon them, because I'll destroy thy children with death. That's the second death. And Brother Branham categorically said, by the time of the fire of Malachi comes, leaving neither root nor branch, that means annihilation. So where are the people? A white throne is now. You think for 1 minute they believe that? I wonder how many of you people believe it. Are you to the place where it just comes natural to believe it? Well, Brother Bale, you know, it says kingdoms over here, and it says crowns over here. And you see, Brother Bale, I got trouble. Oh, you're AWOL, Frank. Go to Germany. Go on to Germany. Get out of here. I got no time for you. You got the answers. Have you? Give me one. Give me one. I need answers. See, people are careless with their mouths. By your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. Now, the key words here in this verse that I read, that Jesus, this is now the third time that Jesus showed Jesus to Jesus' disciples after Jesus was risen from among the dead. So the key words here at this time are, after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared at least 2 more times. And according to this scripture, it was Jesus who did the appearing. It was Jesus who rose from the dead. And it was not somebody else. Now, truly, he was in a different form, which was a form of glorification, which we can look at. Now, categorically, it says the same thing in the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter, to which we go. And we begin at verse 22 to 31, which we read some the other day. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, approved of God among you men, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him, this man, in the midst of you men, as you men also yourselves know, him. This particular man I'm speaking of, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you men have taken, and by wicked hands of men, you men have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, this man, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now, then people might say, Brother Bale, you are using words in there that don't belong. Those words do belong. I know enough about literature and writing to know that if you change the point of view, the reader doesn't know one thing you're talking about. Because if I'm describing the front of a house and suddenly go to the back of the house and start describing the back of the house without telling you I have moved to the back of the house, how do you know what I'm talking about? Also know you cannot change subjects without forewarning the people. So if we want to put Peter and God down as a bunch of lunkheads, go ahead. See what's going to happen to you on Judgment Day. So I choose to read the scripture emphatically. And the way it exactly is, because if he's a man in one place, he's got to be a man in the next place. And if he's a man in the first 5 and 10 places, he's got to be a man all down the line. Particularly when you're dealing with certain subjects and at certain times in certain places. Now let's get the understanding here that men are born of women, except in the first instance where Adam and Eve were formed by God. and as even the wags and the police and the facetious and even the sincere theologians say, there is no way that Adam could have had a belly button. Jesus did. He was circumcised. Who ever heard of circumcising God? Who ever heard of circumcising God's heart? We're the ones that need it. Whom God hath raised up, this man, having loosed this man from the pains of death, because it was not possible that he, this man, should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, this man. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's before my right hand, that I should not be moved. What does the Lord mean there? My master. Who is the head of the church? Is God? No. The answer is no. He's not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And right now, God, his Father, is putting everything under his feet in a propitious manner. How many people know that? For David speaketh concerning this man that God raised. I foresaw the Lord, my master, all before my face. For this man, my master, is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. I, the man, should not be moved. I've got a man doing this thing in the will and providence of Almighty God who worked through him, and this is being accomplished. Therefore did my man heart rejoice, and my man tongue was glad. Moreover, also my man flesh shall rest in hope. And don't think David wasn't a man. He was a macho guy. Behold, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. David the man says, my man soul, in other words, in the actual soul, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Now, of course, he's talking about the one that died there. And we know also that David is not going to be allowed to not make the resurrection. Thou, he said, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you, the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he'd raise up Jesus to sit on his throne. Now, you find that in two books, Matthew and in Luke, from both sides, and yet neither one was his parent. But remember, he was in the genealogy. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ the man, that this man's soul was not left in hell, neither did this man's flesh see corruption. Now, that is what we are looking at here, because this is a man. Now, also in Acts the 4th chapter, in verses 8 to 10, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by which means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Now he has recently called him a man, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, this man, that you crucified and killed, that God raised, that this man over here stand before you perfectly whole. This man Jesus, that you crucified and killed and God raised, which you set at naught, set at naught of the builders, and you call yourself the builders, has now become the head of the corner. So he goes in cornerstone to capstone. You know that. He's capstone now. Neither is there salvation in any other, and there is none other name given among heaven, none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we might be saved. And who's he talking about? He's talking about a man. Now, if you want to know some more about him, go over here to the 10th chapter of the book of Corinthians. And he says here, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged upon the tree. And God raised him, God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And so Peter here is talking about the fact that this is one of the times that he was seen by the apostles, that one of the three times. Also, you go to the 28th chapter of the book of Luke, beg your pardon, Matthew, and in the first 10 verses, which we take time to read, and it says, "And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment was as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered the women and said, Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. And he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren. Well, when did an angel or God become a brother? Well, this man here had from the same womb, but not from the same egg and sperm. He had brothers and sisters. And the record evidently shows that every single one became born-again Christians, the way it should have been had Eve done the right thing. Had Eve stood back and received the seed from God and brought forth that one. My, what a tremendous thing would have happened, but that's the way it wasn't. So, all right. Then we go to John 20, and we read 24 to 31, and it says, And when the 10 heard it, they were moved. I forgot the right thing here. Oh, yeah. When the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation. 24 to 31. That Jesus called and said, Ye know that princes and Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they exercise great authority upon them, but so shall not be named amongst you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever be chief among you, let him be your servant. What does that sound like? Anything but a man. Now read the next verse. Even so, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for the many. And they departed from Jericho, and a great multitude followed them. And behold, two men sitting by the way, when they cried, Jesus passed by, crying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, O Master, Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, they should hold their peace. They cried the more, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And so what we're looking at here is the fact that this is what Jesus did, and he was crucified upon the cross for doing it, and he rose from the dead, and the same wonderful works began to take place, which I suppose many people would never think for 1 minute would begin to take place. So what my trouble was, I was reading from Matthew there instead of John, because I forgot to flip my pages. So we go back and read. If it doesn't matter, the impact is still the same because I'm looking at what Jesus did it as a man. So 24 to 31, because I want to read a special verse with greater emphasis, he's telling you here, in there, Thomas caught one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said, We have seen the Lord, but he said unto them, Except I see in his hands, watch. See in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger in the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I'll not bleed. And after 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, stood in the midst, and said, Peace unto you. And then he said unto Thomas, Reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, My master and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they have believed. Then watch. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Every single miracle, every single thing written here is to tell you that Jesus is the Son of a God, of which Israel claimed their God, which was Elohim, which was Jehovah, and he was not God. Every single thing in Scripture that was done, where people try to make him God and say, this is God, is a lie. It says those deeds were done to prove who he was, which was not God, which was the Son of God born of a woman. So there goes your Trinitarian Jesus-only hogwash. Because it's all built upon the same thing. Who did the creating? God did. Well, see, then God is Jesus. But he said God did it by Jesus. And William Branham explained it. Oh, everything is done the way. But the Jesus only, they've got themselves in a trap. And remember, in Brother Branham's vision before it happened, Miss Oneness went to the world and one word off is Satan's kingdom. And they're the Jesus only. And they've got a wickeder spirit than any Trinitarian I've ever seen. God forbid I have anything to do with a oneness preacher. No way. Now, you might be sitting here a little unflattered. Well, I'm happy for you. And be my guest. You think I'm going to apologize? You have to be mentally retarded. Because I know the oneness. And I know what they're like. How they ride herd and take the people over. And it's the same Roman Catholic spirit. Sure it is, because the same thing that Hyslop uses, where he talked about the Virgin Mary, so-called, with the slant eyes in China, with a little boy in her lap. And underneath it says, the child is the husband of the mother. If that's not Jesus only, I don't know who I'm talking about. It says everything in this book here written is to prove that Jesus is the Son. He is the Son of God, and he is not God the Son. And he is not God. But being a prophet, he is God to the people under the right conditions. So you see where my message is leading this morning. Now, this last portion of Scripture, which we read 30-31, that speaks of Jesus' resurrection goes far beyond John 5, 45 to 56, which is based on Deuteronomy 18, which tells you how you can tell a prophet, and also John 14 and 10, where he denies doing the works and saying the words. He's only a mouthpiece, he's only a hand, he's only a foot, he's only a vessel. God is doing it. The same as William Branham said, you're looking at me, aren't you? So let's go back to John 5. And we're going to read 45 to 46. And in there it says, and then when he came into the... I want 5. 45. And it says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Oh, your hope's in Moses. Oh, yes, it's Moses that said this. It's Moses that did that. And therefore, we listen to Moses, and everything is going to be according to Moses. Oh, yes, we'll even wait 2,000 years. We'll wait 3,000 years. We'll keep on. We'll even begin to vote in Messiahs. But I'm going to tell you something. What Moses said is going to come to pass. And Jesus said, if you'd believe Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote of me. I'm the one that was to come. Vindicated. And you were to listen, and you didn't. Oh, yes. See? And Jesus said, if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? And that is exactly true. If God comes on the scene today in a prophet, and we don't believe the words of these men, we're not going to believe William Branham's words. Or they say, oh, just a minute, oh my. I'll stop. Because I would be very sarcastic with cream puffs and beautiful little things oozing out of my ears as I paint the picture. They don't believe this for nothing. Except they have their own ideas, as Brother Branham said, and remember this as long as you live. He said Jesus came according to Scripture, but not the way they understood it. And that's the same thing happening right today. And so therefore, these scripture I read here that tells you that this book, the Gospels, are full of the ministry of Almighty God through Jesus Christ, proving that He is the Son of God. That He is what? That prophet. That's what they all forget. He's that prophet. The Lord will raise up a prophet. Oh, the Lord will raise up a doorknob. He'll raise up an accordion. He'll raise up a piano. He'll raise up a lot of people. He'll do this and He'll do that. But prophet? Ooh, well, maybe something to him. Oh, Brother Dale, you're so crass. You don't get to the real thing. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am. Oh, yes, He's the one that died on Calvary. He's the great shepherd. He's the baptizer. And now you want to make Him just a prophet. Brother Dale, listen to me. How no prophet ever did, but He was a prophet first. Don't tell me I'm mixed up. I'm not mixed up, not for 15 seconds. Did I tell you the truth or did I not tell you? The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like unto me in the midst of thy brethren. Is that what He said? Then shut up! Shut up! And hold your thinking right there, and I mean hold it there and shut up. Because that's got to come to pass. And then it says, if you don't hear Him, it goes on. You will die and be separated. But if you don't know the first part, you don't know the second part. And if you talk about believing the second part without the first part, that's telling me that you have built a house without a foundation. And I will say, wonderful, there's scripture for it. And the winds are going to beat upon your house and destroy your house. And you're gone. Time after time, I've told you, don't fool with me because I got the scripture. I don't know where it comes from, but it comes. Don't worry. That's not from 80 years of studying either. I just turned 80. 58 years of preaching. He promised He'd bring to my mind and yours too what He said when it is necessary. Yeah. Tells you right here, the book was written, all these miracles, every single thing was done to prove Moses spoke of Him. Everything that William Branham did was proven that Malachi spoke of Him. Yeah. Oh, I couldn't believe that. Nobody asked you to. And I'm glad you don't. Oh, say, Brother Bale, you're mean. Well, Brother Branham said, I hear 10,000 follow this message. Got to shake them off. There's too many. Am I supposed to be different, Brother Branham? Say, oh, let's everybody come in. Hallelujah, I'm going to set up satellite churches. And I'm going to lead 2 million people in the millennium. You're going to lead them plumb to hell. Same guy that used my name in my ministry. Oh, he said, you have to hear Brother Bale's tapes. I'll tell you what's on them. Did Brother Bale ever say something like that? Well, I'll buy you the gun to shoot me. You people don't know what's going on and how close we are. And yet when I hear things like that, my God says, lift up your head and rejoice because your redemption draweth that much near. In other words, the spirits in our midst will become incarnate to us that much sooner. Yes. Yes, absolutely. This is it. They are also the basis of the entire gospel of Paul. As is seen in Romans, the first chapter. And let us go look at Romans, the first chapter. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separate unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Now, Paul is identifying himself. So, just a minute, Paul, where is your name anyway? Who cares about my name? It was Saul. And God changed it to Paul. I am here because I'm manifesting what is in this scripture. I am telling you what God said about the Gentiles. William Branham. Well, who heard of William Branham? Is William Branham's name in the Bible? No! It's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what he was supposed to is mentioned in the Word, and he did it, and that identifies him. Oh, brother, sister. You see why I'm steamed up? I got a Jesus. I got a God that lives, backs his own word, and stands with it. And will stand with it. And anybody that stands with it. Not some bunch of turncoats with their creeds and dogmas that won't begin to listen and measure their thinking and their spiritual understanding with what the prophet taught and how he taught it and why he taught it. And think you'll be dressed any otherwise? If there's anybody here pretending you're something you're not, for God's sake, stop it and repent this morning, lest you condemn your own soul, your family's soul, and those round about you. If you're not called and don't know, shut up! I got reason to be angry. I know a guy that called himself a teacher, fivefold because he taught a little Sunday school, got taken in by Joe Coleman and everybody else. I ask you a question. Your children going to be all the trees round your table? You haven't got a prayer. You haven't got a prayer. You can't claim you're part of this word if you're not one with it. Paul said, my name may need not be in the book, but I'm telling you, God is using me to fulfill it. The mystery to the Gentiles was not known as it's known now, and I'm telling you. And he came right behind Jesus, who revealed other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring. He said, you think you're Abraham's seed only? There's others out there. Just because you're children. Get a lot of children. Measure the Arabs today. Measure the millions of them. Every one of Ishmael. How many born again? Danny Thomas born again because he turned a Roman Catholic. Merciful God, he might as well join the African cult of some description, ate worms and said, that's it. I'm not against Africans. Just go ahead and join the Indians, eat snakes. Oh, don't they? Idolatry is idolatry. Paul says, I'll tell you who I am. Now, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Concerning his son. Not God the Son. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Master. Which was made of the seed of David, the tribe of Judah he's talking about. Of the flesh. And declared to be the Son of God with power. Now listen. Declared to be the Son of God with power. Not the God the Son with power. No. Declared. Manifestly proven. Delineated. Explained. No doubt. The Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He was the Son of Man, the prophet. With his genes from God, the Son of God, the only begotten. And the Jews hated him because he said, I'm a son of God like no other person's the Son of God. And they killed him. And he rose and showed he was the Son of God. No longer Son of Man, but Son of God. Pouring forth his Spirit and doing these wonderful mighty works. Then they talk about God the Son. Blasphemers from the word go. So, Brother Bale, watch your tongue. I'm watching my tongue. You watch yours. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus. He said that. Listen, you want to know the truth of it? Huh? Let's go and read the book of Ephesians and read it right for the first time. in my ministry, as far as I'm going to recall and know. I do my best. And sometimes my best is only mediocre. Then get a little better. And finally I get to where it is. Now listen, the fourth chapter he's talking in verse 7, but every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now there's a gift given there. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. That's in the Psalms. Now he that ascended, what is it? He also descended first parts to lower parts of the earth. Did he or didn't he? And he that descends the same that also ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, some teachers. What's he telling you? He's telling you here that he was set apart by the Son of God himself, risen from the dead, that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. And there isn't one fivefold minister who doesn't come under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's a true fivefold minister. He won't aggrandize himself. Either way he set himself up, he will show he has a ministry. You think I haven't got one? Bring your Bible, stand before me. I got a concordance, I'll give you a chance. I don't care if David Templeton says I've got it right on the tape. Lee Dale said, there's two of them. I'm quoting Brother Branham. David doesn't even know I'm quoting Brother Branham. He's too busy quoting Bob Brown. Your Brother Dale, don't mention names. I have my rhubarb, you have yours. If you don't like it, go on home. You know why some of you are sitting here and you're safe from your sins and all the crap out there? Because Lee Dale stands up on his high horse and tells you. Go on back to your preachers, live in adultery and tell your lies. Go on. Use your money, everything else. Want to see my books? Go ahead. I don't have to hide. I got a pretty bad mouth. I know how to use it. Street language. That's because I'm an angry person. Don't give me your cotton picking, loving, mushy, mushy stuff with this full of lies and all can't stand up and mature adults. Shall I have a nice mature adult camp for you people? Mature adults. Who's a mature adult? What are you talking about? You going to give them deep secrets in God? Brother Brown gave us the secrets. He said, did you notice every tape makes it clear? When we started way back, and who is this Melchizedek, hasn't become so clear. You don't have a question anymore. God has a son that takes care of it. Let God take care of his own business with his son. Huh? Don't try to tell my wife anything. I'll tell her. When I go and talk to you wives, got no ash to grind. By now you ought to know something. You never will know anything. My language is not obscure. Romans 7, when he rose from the dead, he was no longer son of man. He's son of God. He always was the Son of God. Flip her over. Get four more tapes ready. I got one third done for the first page. In fact, the entire fate or superstructure of the entire gospel of Paul depends on it as it is declared in 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning at verse 1 and reading it, and let us read it. Because by now you know I am talking about it as a man who rose from the dead. That's a man that's up there right now. God doesn't die and God doesn't rise from the dead. God kills and makes alive. Read your Bibles. You got the Holy Ghost, he'll bring it to your attention. Don't worry, he helps me, and I'm sure the last guy that he ought to help, and I'm sure glad he helps me. I'm not going to get angry in helping me. Moreover, brethren, I declare the gospel which I preached unto you, which also I received, wherein you stand. Just like Lord's Communion the other night. He said, people told me a lot of bum stuff. Gave me a lot of bum steers. It was so bad I went around killing the bride. I was amiss. God knocked me down. Wham! Knocked all the manure from between my ears. Took him 3 years out of the desert to even do it. I'm going to tell you what he told me. And I'm going to prove it by vindication. Thus saith the Lord. I can see his beard and his white hair coming down, standing like a patriarch, standing like a miniature God, standing there. Everybody looking, who is that stupid little jerk? Boy, they sure didn't know the William Branham I knew. Oh, God, if you'd ever seen him that morning when little old Brother Wright came and with his shawl and his little fuzzy white hair like chicken fuzz on there coming before Brother Branham, and here's this old, old person standing there, and Brother Branham, a young man, looking down, and you could just see a father touching a son. Oh, God. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? You got to have different eyes than just eyes to see. Yeah, he that has seen me has seen the Father. What does it mean, Brother Bragg? You're looking at me, aren't you? Oh, boy, that's blasphemy, isn't it? Oh, fine. Let's find out. All right. By which also you are saved, which is a vindicated gospel that God gave me. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, you only said you believed because you were caught up by the magnificence of what I demonstrated before I brought the word. And you said, oh, that's great. Paul is a wonderful fellow, just like Bill Branham, a hillbilly, and God gave him a great ministry and he got carried away. Hogwash. Now, why did God keep vindicating Brother Branham? That makes God a liar. Somebody comes to you and said, Lee, they'll say to give every one of you a $10 bill, and I could give you a $10 bill if I went to bank, got them. There's not that much money involved. But nobody's going to tell you that. And you come and you say, well, John so-and-so said you're going to give me $10. I say, ha, 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 ha. If you think I'm going to vindicate that stupid jerk's lie, I got news. I could give you $10, but I ain't because I didn't say it. So Brother Branham says, thus saith the Lord, the man is undiagnosed by the doctors. They can't find one thing wrong with him. I'm going to tell you this. It's in his stomach. And tomorrow morning he's going to be released, and he's going to be in this meeting here sitting in that place right over there with you. Words to that effect. And he was exactly there what Brother Branham said. Now, how did Bill get him there? What about the black woman in Arkansas? Not because she's black. My God, there's white women there too, but this was a black one. And she had a black sister that loved the Lord and wanted her sister out of the insane institution. And here, this woman is entirely insane. Her feces are all over herself. If you get in there, she'd bite you, she'd grab you, she'd knock you down, she'd murder you. And Brother Branham said, your sister so-and-so, she's in this institution there, and thus saith the Lord, she'll be sitting in that seat tomorrow night. Now, just a minute, my wife's a psychiatric nurse. Is anybody an RN or a nurse here? Any know about male nurses or anything? Do you think for 1 minute a raving maniac would be released within 24 hours? Good God, they'd be observed. The woman was there. Why? Because it's thus saith the Lord. They didn't have a chance. The creator of the heavens and the earth and the maintainer thereof said it. Though he said it by a man. When Brother Branham stood there, they were watching God. Oh, Brother Bill, you shouldn't be there. Oh, my. Well, I said it. And he hasn't struck me dead. And he's not going to strike me dead. Because I never said Brother Branham was God. You were looking at God by what God was doing. Brother Branham said, the words that I speak coming so past so perfectly are not my words, and those deeds done are not mine. He explained it. Okay, let's keep on going. Now it says, for I delivered unto you that which I received. Not what somebody told me, and I foolishly acted on, became a perfect idiot. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Now that's the difference right there. They don't even know how he died according to Scripture. And that he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Going back to the Word. And again was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present day, but some are fallen asleep. That's like the rapture going to take place maybe after I'm gone. Maybe I'll be here, maybe not. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. But after I am the least of all apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, I admit my sin. But by the grace of God I am what I am now. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, so you believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say any among you there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? That's just absolutely right. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. Sure, because it doesn't count. There's nothing to build on. There's no door open. See? Yea, we are even found liars. False witnesses standing before God because we have testified to God that he raised up Christ whom he did not raise up. If so be the dead rise not. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not raised. In other words, there's a law laid down that if the dead can't come up, I don't care who Jesus says he is, I don't care what he seems to prove he is not going to come up. Because there's no law of God laid down. God never said, I'll raise the dead. So this fellow's not going to rise. And we say, well, God, you raised the dead. In fact, I'm telling the folk that you said you'd raise the dead. And God says, you're a liar. Shut up and sit down. So the resurrection is part of God himself. Just keep that in mind. If Christ is not raised, then your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Then they which also are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, starting with Adam. For since by man, amen, came death, by man, amen, also came the resurrection. For as in Adam all die, every single man, in identical manner, so in Christ shall all be made alive. They were in him, they died in Adam, he brings them forth into everlasting life, rather immortality. I want to ask you, who did it? Who started this thing rolling? Adam, he was a man. Who came down? The Son of God, man. Now, who was it that sentenced Adam? God did. Who was it raised Jesus? God did. So man brought death and man brought resurrection. It doesn't say that God did it. It says that man did it. This refers to man. And the whole book refers to God and the relationship. So I want you to see that. By man came death. By man came the resurrection. So, well, Brother Bib, you see, that was God the Son. You see, you're a liar. It was the Son of God. It was the Son of God, as Brother Branham explained, the truth not known from before the foundation of the world. Although it's hinted here in the Bible, and Brother Branham explains it, we came exactly as he did, except we bypassed our theophonic or word body or spirit body. Put in a body of flesh to be tempted, and in this day given the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which whereby makes us commensurate. Oh, we don't like that because now we're obligated. Oh, I'd just sooner have the Holy Ghost as a nice little pat on the back and say, now you're sealed in, everything is fine, do what you want to do. I'm not a nice preacher. I'm a very good preacher, though. Hey, all right. Now, for as in Adam all die in identical manner, in Christ all are made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, the first begotten from the dead, yep, afterward they that are Christ at his presence, both then and now, then cometh the end when he shall deliver the Father, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of the Father, to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign to put all things under his feet. Now that's a tough one right there, because they don't know God is doing this. They'll admit that God raised the dead, but they really think that Jesus raised himself. Because I got power to lay my life down and power to take it again. That was authority. That was given to him of the Father. He never had it on his own. Well, show me one place where Jesus was omnipotent and omniscient, and I'll eat the whole Bible. There are some things he doesn't even know now. Oh, he knows everything. Yep. He's God. Yep. What's your Danny Olson going to do with that? The rest of the seducers. They're the ones that say, leave those preaching two gods. They don't even know that Brother Branham said the great revelation of the seven seals was there is one God, and the seven seals corrected the error, so therefore whatever they knew about one God is wrong. Right? Well, you can't tell them that. No. So, here they're saying, let him be ignorant still. All right. We go to John, the 6th chapter and verse 9. In the 6th chapter and verse 9, we come up with this, I hope. No, 1 John 6. Oh, first we want to hear 1 Corinthians 16 and 20. I guess what I want. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. I wanted to read that one there. Because that's the part we are looking at. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20 goes with another verse which I will have to look up later on or find it for you. And it says here now, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And in there, we are looking at the fact, I already mentioned it, that Jesus Christ is the first begotten from amongst the dead. That he is that one. Now, in Revelation 1 and 5, and we take you back to the end, because Brother Branham took us here in this book, and what he told us is very amazing, because he brought out the judge. And in here we find in Revelation 1 and 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us priests and kings unto God, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Now, if you tell me you can pierce God, I'm just going to laugh at you, because God's a spirit. And no man can see him, and no man can feel him, and no man can hear him. So what you're looking at here is the Spirit of God telling you that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He's the one that was faithful, and therefore he's the first begotten from amongst the dead. He's the one that God absolutely raised up and set him there as our example and the one that we are going to follow. Now watch this in 1 Corinthians 15, because I got to go back there, and we read it previous times to you, but I want to get it across so you see it. Now it says right here, beginning at verse 35, but some will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Now remember, Jesus' body did not suffer corruption. The soul simply came up from hell and went back in the body and took over. But we're talking now about people that corrupt and go back to gases and ashes. And some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? What he said, it depends on the seed. The seed sown is what it takes. Thou fool, that which sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that should be but to bear grain. It may chance a wheat or some other grain. Now the fact that Jesus' body was sown as a body and raised immortal gives him a special place in the out-resurrection that nobody else had and nobody else can have, because his body did not corrupt. And the soul that went down to hell and broke the gates of hell apart came up and invaded the body and took it over. He came right back on earth. Now it says here now, just a minute, Jesus is the first fruit. We know how he got his body, if you're telling the truth, Paul, how that God raised him the third day and there was no corruption. But these guys here are full of corruption. In fact, there's nothing left except gases and all. And Paul said, just a minute, you forget one thing. There's a seed that was planted. And you don't plant the body. Now, in Jesus' case, the body was planted. But in this case, the body is not planted. It is the seed that is planted. And if it's a seed, it's the same seed as was planted by Adam, has a period of gestation coming forth from the womb. Then it goes down to the dust, and it must wait another period until that is over. Then what it tells you here, and it said it may be oats or grain, who knows, but God gives it a body, and it had pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And then he said, all flesh is not the same flesh. There's a flesh of men, a flesh of beasts, a flesh of fish, a flesh of birds, a flesh of animals, and snakes, and bugs and everything else. And he said it comes forth. And so what he's telling you, the body can decay. The life goes to a place of a sanctuary. And when the time comes, the life which is sanctuary comes forth and goes to the body which God has ordained that body to be. Now, what body has that been ordained to be? Well, let's go back to Revelation, the 19th chapter, and you're going to look at it. Revelation 19:11. I saw heavens open, behold, a white horse, and him that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written, no man knew but himself. Clothed to the vesture, dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven, that's the bride, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Just like the Master. A body like unto his own glorious masters, the Apostle Paul tells you. Right there all the way through. You go to chapter 20 and verse 1 to 15. It tells you how the resurrection takes place. And Satan is cast into the lake of fire. Blessed holy, he hath part in the first resurrection. Upon such the second death has no power. They're going to be priests and kings unto God. They're going to be in the millennium. Reign and rule with him 1,000 years. Revelation 21. There came up seven angels with seven vials. Come, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me to a great high city, showed me the great and holy Jerusalem, sending from God in heaven, having the glory of God. The light was like a stone, so on and so forth. And then in Revelation 22 to 27, and there was no temple therein. And for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. And there's two of them there, God Almighty and the Lamb. And they make the temple. And the city hath no need of sun, neither moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. In other words, the light of God came right through the Lamb. God's there and the Lamb's there. And the nations shall, that which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor, and that to be the fruit of his virgins, what have you. And the gates shall not be shut at all by day. And there'll be no night there, and they'll bring their glory and honor in. And there shall no wise enter anything different that defileth. Neither worketh abomination and maketh a lie, but they written in the Lamb's book of life, they're going to be there. 22:1-7, he showed me a pure river of water, and the 12 manner of fruits, and the Lamb there, and God is the light. And he said here that these are the truth, the faithful and true sayings of the Lord God and his holy prophets. The angel showed me these things. Here's what you're looking at that is part of that resurrection that we are speaking of. Now, I want to go back and read Acts, the first chapter, because we're talking about resurrection as outlined in the Scripture from the very beginning. So we better go back and find out what they believed in the beginning, not what somebody wants to tell you. We go to the first chapter. Now watch. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of Jesus, began to do and to teach, until the day Jesus was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, as speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Wherefore, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you nor the times or seasons which the Lord, which the Father put in his own power, but you shall receive power if the Holy Ghost come upon you. Be witness unto me, both Jerusalem, and all Judea, Samaria, and all Judea, uttermost parts of the earth. When he spoke these things, while they beheld, he was taken up by the cloud, received by their sight. Now watch. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. That's what Peter said, this same Jesus, the one that you took with wicked hands and crucified, the one that was born of the Virgin Mary, the one that was a man that could shed blood, that was a man. He was a prophet. He was a prophet, son of God. You wouldn't listen. You crucified and killed him. Now, if you don't turn to him, that he is the Son of God risen, in that special office now, operating entirely through the Holy Ghost, the Father doing the entire ministry now. If you don't receive it, it's all over for you. You're gone. You're finished. You haven't got a chance. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Is that correct? Is not he the one that said, handle me and see if spirit hath not flesh and bone? Is he not the one that said to Thomas, be not unbelieving, but believe, and thrust forth now thy hand into my side? Wasn't he the one? You'll notice especially in verse 11, the same Jesus. Now, you go back to Acts 1 and 11, which we have read to you. Why do you stand here looking? This same Jesus is going to come. And you go back to Luke chapter 24. And in Luke chapter 24, which we'll soon find now, and in verses 1 to 48, it's the whole chapter of Jesus having risen from the dead. They hold him by the ankles. They worship him. He appears on the road to Emmaus. They don't recognize him. He makes himself known. And he says here in 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning him. And what's the thing he's going to take from Moses? The Lord your God shall raise up a prophet from the midst of your brethren like unto me, and him you'll hear in all things. Or you'll be destroyed from among the people. Now the destruction from among the people is yet to come. And he came in 70 A.D. And they drew nigh at the village. And it says in verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us by the way, and while he opened us to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, found 11 gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen. And it appeared to Simon, and they told him the wonderful things that were done, and how they knew him in the breaking of bread. And so they thus spake, and Jesus stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and frightened. They thought they'd seen a spirit. Why are you troubled? Why do the thoughts come into your heart? Behold my hands. Can't you understand anything? Can't you get it through your skulls? Look at my hands. It is I myself. Handle me and see. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have. When he thus spoke, and he showed him his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said, have you got any meat? And they gave him a fish sandwich and some broiled honey, and he ate it. He ate a fish sandwich and had some honey. And he said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might understand Scripture, that this was a man, the prophet, who was destined to be the Messiah and raised to take his position, not as prophet now, but as Son of God, with the Holy Ghost continuing the ministry that was in him when he was here upon flesh. And he said, thus it's written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, the repentance and remission be preached in the name of all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. There you are. Now, listen. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Now, here is where the people are all rattled. Rattled like a bunch of pebbles in a tin can because they can't listen to anything. Here's what it says in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 15, wherefore also after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, even the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself. And listen, that's Matthew 16. Only the Holy Ghost can do it, and that's God. Flesh and blood did not reveal it, Simon Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling, not yours, but his. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what the word really is and what it really means, and you're coming to it today. Word believers, word receivers, word manifestors, that's what it is, come on. Somebody's going to get it. If we don't want it, somebody's going to take it. You don't have to worry about it. Just get all humbled down. And now listen, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of God's mighty power, which he wrought in Christ the Redeemer, the Savior, the Messiah, which he raised from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but the world which is to come, put everything under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And Jesus prayed, and he said, Lord, give me the glory I had with you in the beginning. And he said, there's going to be a bigger glory, and this is it. And here's where they get messed up, thinking that Jesus is God the Son. He is not God the Son. He is the Son of God glorified and in the position that God put him, because he met the test and gave satisfaction. Jesus is a man. He's a man, a very special man. Where you and I have one gene from God, he could have trillions and trillions. Don't argue and belabor the point. Listen to Philippians, the second chapter, and let's get the understanding. And it says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, absolutely a spirit being, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained to be equal with God. Which means as the first son he was equal. His name was on the check. Everything that could be discussed from now on must be discussed with him. The Father cannot act alone anymore. He has this son. This is the law of the birthright. The Jews understood it. Let this mind be in you. And he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. This pre-existent one was now made flesh, became flesh. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given name above every name, the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But Ephesians says, God puts everything under his feet except God himself. Now, come on, people. This is so simple, it's rudimentary. For you and I were taught so wrong for so long. We have got to somehow look around and play around and fool around and be fooled by the devil. Hogwash. I'm not about to be fooled by him. He ain't nothing anyhow. Look what it says in John 17, 4 and 5. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. O now, Heaven Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. We're waiting now for a glorification that took place and hasn't taken place since the resurrection. The Spirit that's now among us, which is Jehovah Elohim himself, is going to be incarnated to us. We'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That will be the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man. That will be Jehovah Elohim. That will be the Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Absolutely. In the form of this one that was his Son and is still the Son. I don't care if God is in the Son. He's still the Son. And is still God there. I and my Father are one. It's a certain oneness that the husband and wife aren't. Now, my explicit thought after the scripture, with more to come, is this. Who is this same Jesus that died and rose and was taken up to heaven and will yet come again? The answer is obviously the Son of God. But that is not sufficient because the question will not go away. Is he God or is he man? The fact of the matter is, found 100% in Scripture. And the book of Hebrews is the place to go. How much time have we got left? Huh? 10 minutes. You think I can get through all these chapters in Hebrews? Haven't got a prayer. That's one half my notes. The fact of the matter is that Jesus is the Son of God, according to the Apostle Paul. Expressed in a way that John does not express it. I admire John. I think John is a tremendous apostle. I think he's a great revelator. And I love everything he says because God told him to say it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Paul the apostle is my man. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Paul does not mince words and bring in logos and everything the way John does. Listen to what Paul says. God who in many parts, in many ways, spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the ages, and also created all things, who, being the effulgence or the outflowing of God's glory, and the expression of God's own personal substance, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And Brother Branham said, before there was a speck of stardust, 20th century language, which Paul does not know and could not know, before there was a speck of stardust, before there was a bed of wind, before there was an atom, a light formed. What did it form from? God. So God has a Son. And that's as simple as A, B, C. I don't have to, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Brother Branham said, now if you make Jesus the Word, he said, then there's three gods. I don't have to go through all that stuff anymore. They said, Brother Branham, what does it mean when he said, he that seen me has seen the Father? You look at me, aren't you? I don't need the theologians. I don't need all the books on Logos. I need all the stuff you're teaching. Hey! William Branham came with the same pillar of fire to tell you the revelation that that pillar of fire brought to Paul is the Word. Then let's stick with Paul. Oh, I'm not against the gospel because there's where you see the Son of Man. You don't see the Son of Man in Paul. You see Son of God. You've got to have the gospel. You know that. I preached that, told you dozens of times. But if you want to get the meat of anything, you got to go to Paul because Paul had the revelation. He met Jesus, which is Jehovah, which is Elohim. He never met the man, Jesus, the Son, who has the same name as the Father. He met the Father, who had turned back to a pillar of fire. Did Jesus, the Son, turn back to a pillar of fire? He wasn't one in the first place. He was Michael, then something else. Stick with your Bible and the vindicated prophet, not some goofy teacher out here. They're too busy thinking up thoughts. It's so simple to just stay with the prophet. Hey, you ever get John D. Rockefeller's checkbook with his signature. Don't go looking for somebody else's. Make the best use you can of it. William Branham suits me just fine. Now, you go on to verses 13 and 14. Now, what does it say here? Because we skipped the rest. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, shall I make thine enemies thy footstool? He never did and he never will. See? Aren't these just ministering spirits? Certainly. Then you go to the second chapter. And you don't begin, we go to Hebrews 2, 5 to 1. Because we don't need that interpolation. For unto the angels hath he not put into subjection the word which is to come. That's Jesus, whereof we speak. But in what certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of man, or the son of man that thou visitest the son of man? Thou madest the Lord and the angels, this son of man. That's also man. You crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. He did that to David, to Adam also. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. That was possible back there. But this is only Revelation 15 now. I mean, beg your pardon, 1 Corinthians. For in that he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. That's yet to come. This is this day. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower in the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should take death for every man. Hogwash, the word man's not in there. It's for every son. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. God the Father. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I'll declare thy name, O God, unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee, O God, amongst my brethren. And again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took a part of the same. He never took the flesh that the serpent seed and everybody else had. He had a special created sperm and egg. And he got into that body. That's why it's a different blood than yours and mine. So he couldn't get sick and everything else. See? He took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That's the devil. And deliver them through who fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not in the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Identification. Wherefore in all things it behooved he made like unto his brethren, he might be a merciful and high priest in things pertaining to God, and so on. And then over here, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, the new priesthood, Jesus Christ, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, who was also man, inasmuch as he who builded the house has more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man. When man's interpreted, it doesn't matter. But he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in his house as a servant for testimony of these things. But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And then he just skip the next part in there, you don't need it. And the next part in there, you don't need either. you go right down in here in verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he's entered his own rest, has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And now, verse 14, that's the one. These are all interpolations, but here's the meat, talking about that high priest. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Now hold it. He's got a lot of brethren. We were in Christ. See? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in every time of need. And then he talks about the priests. They're being taken, he said, by reason thereof he ought to be as for the people, as also for himself to offer for sins. For no man taketh this honor to himself, but he that is called to God even as Aaron. So Christ also glorified him not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I started my generations in thee. The same one said it at the resurrection, I have begotten thee from the dead, and I have made thee a high priest. So now the Son of God is the high priest for man, and he's still a man. But he's a glorified man. See? And all power is given unto him, but he's still not omniscient and omnipotent. Got to go to his Father. Why? That's the way it is. Thou art prayer priest after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him, was able to save him from death, and it was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. How can you make God learn obedience? How can you make him suffer? God learned obedience when he stands behind his word to perform it. And I say, dear Lord, you've got a promise in your book, and I hope you stand behind your word to perform it, because I don't, I'm sure that you really will. He says, shut up, idiot. That's not praying. No more hear your prayer than nothing. You're caterwauling. Get out of my sight. So maybe God's got a little more grace than that, because he knows I'm such a jerk. Hey, I've been too long in the ministry to be a jerk over things like this. My trouble is I don't stand with God's word. He stands with his word. And he expects me to stand with his word like he does. And then to agree upon anything concerning the kingdom, we get it. Huh? Oh, brother, sister, there's a difference. See? Now, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made perfect, he... Huh? I thought God was perfect. Well, this can't be God the Son, then. Maybe we got second rates. Like the three bears. Big bear, middle bear, little bear. Wasn't little bear got in all the trouble? Mama bear got halfway, and big bear had to come by and make all the thing good. We're not talking about three bears. See how easy to get myth mixed up with the Bible? Get rid of your myth. Forget it. Though your son learned, he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, came to offer eternal salvation unto all that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Then on, going on down more and more and more, it tells you here, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth. Now, if therefore perfection came by Levitical priesthood, for under the, if the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest, which should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance to the altar. It's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which the tribe... Which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And as yet far more evident, after the similitude of Melchizedek, rises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless light. Now they're talking about men, because Aaron was a man. Levi was a man. Moses was a man. See? Okay, we could read on and on, but my point here is, and I'm going to close off because I always do this and it's too bad. The thing is, what I'm showing you from the book of Hebrews, that Jesus Christ is a man. He was born to being a man the same as you and I were, but there is a tremendous difference in the positions that God gave us. So when Jesus came forth, the Son of God is that light, by whom God created all things and still maintains all things. Positively, that one became Michael for a certain period of time. What else, I don't know. All I know is this, that he came exactly as we did, except he did not bypass that word or spirit body that Brother Branham called a theophonic form, which we did, and therefore he had a memory. We do not have a memory of it. Neither are we as great. Now, we took on bodies to be tested and fell into sin. Jesus took on a body to be tempted and did not fall into sin. He lived the perfect life. thereby giving his life for us, and thereby God is satisfied, and thereby we are set free through the door, that we may enter into the way, the truth, and the life, which is Christ's life himself in that bride body. And it's all men. You have a bunch of ladder-rainers and holy rollers and God knows Roman Catholics and Greek Orthodox and who know what else, angels and this thing and seraphim all bringing in. I got new shoes. They do not belong to what I belong to. They ain't never gonna. The only desire to look into it. And they're there for you and me. Who? Through that Son. And he stands in the midst of the brethren, singing praise unto Almighty God. He is on the right hand of the Majesty on high, making intercessions. At this point, he's on the Father's throne, where the Father's down there bringing everything under his feet, putting a bride in order, getting the church in order, getting the bride dressed, getting her all ready. And when it's all over, that voice is going to bring the dead out of the ground, immortal, and we are all going to be changed, and we're going to be taken to the wedding supper by that same Holy Spirit, and that same Holy Spirit's going to incarnate himself in the Lord Jesus Christ to be crowned at the wedding supper. And that same pillar of fire now, in that incarnation, positively, as far as I understand any scripture at all, will be in Revelation chapter 19 in Jesus Christ, and will come with him right down here on earth with a rod of iron and take over. And it's going to be men. And after the great white throne, the holy encampment which is made out of men, the devil's going to come along and say, hey, boys, we can take them. Fire comes down out of heaven. Destroys them. But that's the Bible. And you go to heaven as a man. A glorified man. That's what Brother Branham could say. God's the first man, Adam the second, Jesus the second, Adam the third. So what I'm saying is all bound unto him scripture. The same scripture I used on Friday night. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. And the big thing is this, since death came by man, the resurrection also came by man. It was a man that Jesus was and God raised. Now the same man called Jesus the Son of God. Yet he is the Son of Man, is still a man. But what a man is he? And we read about him. His place in glory. He's the head of the bride. One day he will incarnate God. And God will be incarnated in him. And this is that one of whom we're speaking, and I say it again. It's in the book of Hebrews, the first two chapters, and it tells you flat that Jesus is a chip off the old block. And so are we. And he went in his position, and so did we. And what he did, God did through him for us, is God's own business, in God's own sovereignty, in God's own plan, and that's the way it is. And there's coming a day when that pillar of fire will be above the throne of the Lamb in the New Jerusalem, and in the midst of the children of God, and I believe both inside New Jerusalem and outside, there will be times of fabulous, glorious worship. When he stands there fully identified with the nail prints in his hand, the scars in his head, in his feet, in his side, and he leads that worship singing praises unto God, and we look at him as the great brother between us and the Father. And he looks down upon us as his sheep. And we're all men. With the divine life. See, let's don't forget, when you came to this earth, a spirit allowed of God but not of God took over. That ain't so. Won't be so. When you and I come in this resurrection, it's our soul, that gene coming back. And that word body coming in. Why? Don't ask me, but it's going to do it. Now we'll be changed. And we'll just love being there. It's going to be perfectly satisfying. But the picture this morning on resurrection morning, it's a man. It's a man, brother and sister. And God is not a man. And man is not God. The word of God said, God is not a man that he should change his mind ere you sons of Jacob would be destroyed. Brother Branham said, does God ever change his mind? Of course not, because he's not a man. So that's the story this morning, the best I can give it you. It's a man. A few days ago, I was ready to sit down and write in blank verse a whole sermon. They looked upon Calvary's cross, and there they saw a body. It was just a man. Naked before the whole world, he hung there. They said he raised the dead. He healed the sick. He fed them loaves and fishes. They thought he was the Messiah, but now naked, unclothed, blood streaming from his face, his hands, his side. He was just a man. Then cold and death and chill, they put him in a tomb. And rolled the stone against the tomb and put a seal and caused the Roman soldiers to stand by. And they stood by and watched till the night, but an angel came, and in a stupor they fell asleep. The stone was rolled away, and a man came forth, and he was seen by Mary. And he was just a man, and she said, "Oh, gardener, where have you taken him? Where have you taken my beloved that I may go see him and embalm him?" And he was just a man as he stood there. But the angel stood there in splendor and said to Peter, "He's risen, he's not here." But Mary still thought he was a gardener. Just a man who walked amongst the tombs and did a little caretaking. And she said, "Where have you laid him?" And he said, "Mary." And the sheep heard the voice. And she knew this man was different. And she said, "Master." He said, "Go tell my brethren. Go tell those men. Don't tell the angels. Don't talk to them. They worshiped me when I was born. An angel stood here and rolled the tombstone away. Don't worry them. Don't talk to them. Don't even pray to God at this time. Just thank God and go tell my brethren." She went down there. But they didn't believe. And he went down the road to Emmaus. And he was just a man, and he spoke. And something burned within their hearts, but he was just a man. That's all he was, just a man. And they couldn't take it. So he went on his way alone. He had to come through cold, closed doors. Read the hearts and break the news. He was a man, but God sent him with the power of God. And so today we had a prophet. Read the hearts of men. Who knew the value of Hebrews 4:12 and brought it all before us and stood there and proclaimed it and showed it, manifested it, and they said, "Oh, he's just a man. Who needs a man?" They forget that God deals with men. They forget that God saves men. They forget that when Moses saw God, he saw a bleeding back. It was the back of a man. Yes, he was just a man. But what a man. He was the man Christ Jesus. He was the Son of God. He was a man, a son of God, a man in such a way that no other man ever was a son of God. He was peculiar in that he had his own peculiar position. And if it weren't for him, we'd still be separated. If it weren't for the fact that he's the high priest, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, we wouldn't have a friend, we'd have a foe. Wouldn't have a blessing. Wouldn't have Brother Branham come and bring us all the truth and say, "Well, if Bill doesn't come back, don't worry, I'm going to be back either." You see, he was just a man. But he was that man that Moses spoke of that God gave. And Brother Branham one day said, "I'm going to preach a sermon." And that sermon would have been, "Why, he's only a man." And this morning in blank verse, I've given it to you. I hope it's a eulogy unto a prophet who himself was a great man amongst men. For one reason, it wasn't William Branham. It was God. It wasn't he who told those things so very correct that came to pass. It wasn't he who led the sheep by his own word and demonstrated the God of heaven and the life which lay ahead and gave his life so selfishly. It was the Spirit of God. And so today amongst us as men, to say with Paul is what is in our hearts and should be every day. For me, to live is Christ. For I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and yet not I. That I live, but yet not I. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. And we're all just men. That's all we'll ever be. But with the help and grace of God, we will be men of the seed that lies within us, which are children of God. Let's rise and be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this Easter day we had, Lord, coming together as hopefully dear children of the light, of the truth. We look to you now, Lord, to keep these words within our heart, which we trust boil down to the fact that he became us that we might become him. God himself deigned, you, Lord, deigned to come down. You did it your way. Even made a song about Frank Sinatra doing it his way, which is a real travesty against the truth of the word that God, you did it your way. Frank's nothing but a hobo and a liar and a phony and a $3 bill. That's true. But you were the real one that did it your way. The sovereign God, and men turned it down. And they're still turning it down. They still won't accept the fact that you had a son. That you had become man. That he might shed his blood then. You raised him. And are still raising him. And will yet raise him. And he's our high priest, a mediator, a man. That should give us courage, Lord, to know that we came from the same source. Though very, very tiny is our portion. As concerning the greatness of that portion, life. Yet, Lord, as I see Jesus in the New Jerusalem with us, I don't see him at a separate table eating separate viands. I don't see him with just a special crowd. I don't see him any more than he was that humble servant on earth as he stands amongst us giving praises unto you and acknowledgement unto us that here we were, the sheep led astray, brought into the glory of God and into eternal life. We know this is truly resurrection, Lord. And I hope, Lord, that there's not going to be another sermon on resurrection ever preached in this church here. I hope, Lord, that this is kind of a farewell and goodbye to the doctrines of resurrection, because it's no longer a doctrine, it's no longer a story, it's no longer something coming, it's here, as the prophet said, we are resurrection. And here we are men, therefore raised of God from the dead and from the second death. And the fire comes, leaving neither root nor branch. Surely we can sing praise unto thee even now. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How great thou art. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Let the heavens ring, Lord, with the whispers of sincerity. And the tears, Lord, of the same sincerity and attitude toward you. It brings us into the sweetness and the holiness and the love of Almighty God. Lord, we've longed for a long time for changes. Not just change of our flesh in the resurrection, but to be so different from what we are. To be that living word by living spirit. Living in the knowledge of what lies there in Ephesians we've talked so much about. Back to the days of Paul. The sweet spirit of Christ and the joy of depredation and defrauding. It certainly doesn't matter. We're just so close to home. Just one breath from that little step into a little circle beyond. Brother Branham spoke of. Help us today, Lord, to realize what's in our heart, our desire. I believe you will. You said you'd never turn away the empty. Now, this church has won people this morning, no matter where they come from, to get in their hearts and really believe all together, Lord, this is what you really want, and this is what we're going to have, because you said we're going to have it. How the love will flow. Because the love of this word, not just the word, living word manifested. Abide with us, Lord, the day is far spent. Abide with us, Lord, and may our hearts be ever open. Never content with anything. With a lovely honey word that flows deep within us and brings forth the wellsprings of God. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
In the name of Jesus, save you.